In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
Love is the gold cord that binds us together. It's like the string on the beads. And it's the only thing, the love of which the Bible speaks, is absolutely the only thing which can survive the tests that life together is going to dish out. It's the only thing that can withstand the strain. The love of which Christ speaks and the love which he demonstrated for us when he gave his life for us on the cross. The word is sacrifice. And that is the way that we know what love is, as it says in 1 John 3:16. Here is how we know what love is. Christ laid down his life for us. And a man said to me this morning, is there another word that you might find besides this word sacrifice? And I appreciate the desire because we can distort and twist everything, can't we? And vocabulary gets ruined very often by popular use. If we are thinking of sacrifice always in terms of loss and deprivation, then we're forgetting what the original meaning of sacrifice was in the Old Testament, which was an offering. Something that God has given to us to give back to him. Any Israelite who brought a sacrifice to the tabernacle had nothing to give to God but what God had already given to him. And as the old prayer says, all things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. We have nothing else to offer. And in marriage, God has given us this tremendous gift of another human being with whom to become one and to share our lives. And it is our response to the love of God to offer ourselves back for the sake of this other person and for the glory of God. Most of us are preoccupied when we get married with what we've gotten, and we think we've gotten a prize package. Now, today we're going to think specifically about love's acceptance. What did you receive exactly when you got married? What sort of a person was he or she? My husband Addison Leach used to say that if a woman is very generous, she may acknowledge that her husband lives up to perhaps 80% of her expectations, if she's very generous. But what are we going to do with the other 20%? Well, you have two choices. You can either decide to pick away at the 20% that you don't like. And if you do that, then I can guarantee that you will make your own life and that of your spouse miserable. And you will not reduce it by very much, that 20%. The other option is simply to accept all the 20% that you don't like. Maybe your husband lives up to 95%. Of your expectations, or your wife lives up to 98%, but there's always that little pile of dust in the corner, isn't there? That little thing there, that picky peculiarity that you'd like to change. So, because you have married this person, you must regard this person as God's gift to you. Never mind how you got into it. Some of you may be thinking, well, God didn't have anything to do with it back then. I wasn't thinking of the will of God, or perhaps you weren't Christians when you got married, or perhaps he was and you aren't, or she was and you aren't. And so what am I supposed to do now? I get lots of letters from people that say, God really didn't have anything to do with my marriage, and God did not join us together. We never should have gotten married in the first place. And so now we're going to split. I really don't think that's the way to look at it. We are in this situation. We know that marriage is an institution far bigger than we as a particular couple are. And we find it very easy to forget that, don't we? In a wedding, the young people are thinking only of her and me, forgetting that because we have all this ceremony with the music and the candles and the slow, measured tread down the aisle, this is a ceremony which signals tremendous verities vastly prior to our particular relationship. It is a God-ordained institution, and if you're in it now, then thank God for it and accept this person. Accept him or her in the name of God and start loving him or her. Now, early love is one thing. First love we think of as very exciting and very thrilling with lots of warm fuzzies and the birds singing and the rainbows and all of that. And then we move into the hard realities of daily living and we begin to have revealed to us the difficulties and the hard things about this partner. And so we must move on from early love into what we might call second love. And it takes a slow transfiguration to move into that deeper and much longer lasting second love. I must choose to accept this wife or this husband. And that is a daily choice, in a sense. You did it once for all in your marriage ceremony, but now each day is another choice. I must accept the fact that Lars doesn't keep his office the way I'd like it to be. And between you and me, I made his life miserable, I'm sure. I don't think I was nasty about it, but just those little needling remarks about, well, when are you going to pick that stuff up off the floor so you can get in the door, and when are you going to clean off the top of that desk so you have a place to put down one piece of paper, and on the counter where he packages the books and the tapes, this is where all the work gets done, why don't you clean off the counter? It would make it so much easier for you and you could work much more efficiently. The Lord quietly but steadily kept saying to me, that is not your business. And I argued with God and I said, but Lord, it is my business. It's my books and it's my tapes that he's dealing with there, and he's got customers that are waiting for their orders, and I don't see how in the world he can do it efficiently and get them out on time, and he's going to be losing people's checks and everything else. And the Lord said, leave him to me. You must choose to accept this man. Now, that is not to say that Lars himself doesn't have a responsibility before God, see, but what I'm dealing with here in this seminar is marriage. And we need to be very clear about what our individual responsibilities are before God. And it is not the responsibility of the wife to be the moral custodian of her husband. And it will be very liberating if you once accept that fact. And so the time came when I said, okay, Lord, I will let go of that and I'm going to leave it. And I try not to even think of the fact that that room exists in our house. Because Lars has said to me, you don't have to clean this room. You don't have to do anything to it. Don't touch it. So that's where it is. But God has joined us together. Therefore, it is God who has invaded my life. And I spoke of marriage being a revolution. It is an invasion. God has invaded my life in the form of this particular man. And I must relinquish my pride of independence and start taking into consideration who he is and who he and I are supposed to be together. God brought to my attention the verse in 1 Corinthians 12, that magnificent chapter on the differences between the parts of the body. And this hit me right between the eyes. Men have different gifts, but it is the same Lord who accomplishes his purposes through them all. And then Paul goes on to use that physical analogy. A body is not a single organ. Suppose the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It does belong to the body nonetheless. If the whole were one single organ, there would not be a body at all. And this brings up the question of our differences as husband and wife. We are very much alike in being human. We are very different in being male and female. It is not equality that God aims at. It's unity and harmony. And there is no unity if there is equality. I think of the glorious differences between men and women. We'll get into that perhaps in a later talk. But Jesus said, "He that receives you receives me." Have you ever thought of applying that verse to marriage? We are all incompatible. But you must walk with this woman or this man before God. Who married her? You did. You made that decision. And so this is what it entails. It's no good sitting around for the rest of your life thinking, "I wish I had a different set of peculiarities to live with." What sort of a set of peculiarities would you choose? You can look at somebody else longingly and think, "Well, now why didn't I get somebody like her?" And of course, what you don't know is what her husband does know about her. So just remember, in receiving this man or this woman, you actually receive Christ. God's gift in this person, chosen by his magnificently varied grace. That's what Paul says. The gifts of God are chosen by his magnificently varied grace. And there is a sense in which, although this person that you're married to is a sinner and imperfect and fallible, he or she is the perfect gift that comes from the Father of lights.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.